Welcome to a special episode of our BoardWars.eu podcast. This episode is not numbered because it was part of episode 71. Unfortunately, the episode ran so long that I decided to split them up. Here, Jeppe and Isaac will go over what transpired in Sweden and how the tournament went there at the 2018 Nordics. Episode 71 should be out relatively soon, if it isn't out already. So the wait shouldn't be too long. As always, thanks to our patrons, and now, have fun with the show! Nordics, and since both Isaac and Jeppe were there, why don't you guys start off with telling us how Nordics went, and specifically how the tournament went, any players, lists were played, how did you like the games, and...
How about, Isaac, you talk through your Swiss, and I'll talk through my Swiss, we'll talk about the cup.
Alright, so just first real quick generally about the tournament, we had 10 players, all of them really, really good, top tier players.
Some of the best in the world, right?
We had there was definitely a wide variety of lists. I'm trying to think. We had two Spectre, a couple of Vaders, a few Scum VP, and we had Alistair's Ultra Scum VP, which I'm sure you'll hear about next episode. We had Jeppe's list, which I'm sure he would rather talk through in detail. We had Maihan Rangers. We even had a BT Tarot list. So the field was very diverse, which is always good to see. All of my games were against super friendly people. Game one, I was against a Spectre Cell list. The last point was Balance of the Force, which was very interesting. How that game went was Rangers. Basically, Rangers are good at shooting stuff. So between primary target and tools, and I think one focus token, and maybe a hero or something like that, maybe two. Kanan died round one. Yeah.
What?
That's cool.
I mean, Kanan has a lot of hit points. And
yeah, but the same thing. It's a black die. That extra block gets completely negated with the
Pierce 1. Yeah, with the Pierce 1. Yeah, Pierce 1.
Then suddenly it just turns into... Because I think I had one focus on them, so then it's six blues, two from each. Plus two greens, plus one from, what's it called? My brain's so foggy. Primary target, that's the one. On top of tools, which is another green. So that's nine dice going into him. And basically, they can't oversurge. I mean, they can, if they're focused. But most likely, they're not going to. And if they do get two surges, then that's just...
Yeah, exactly. You have to reroll.
And I did have tough luck in hand, so I did get to completely remove one of his dice. One attack, which, and I think I used Hera to just scrape through the last bit of damage, which is great. Round two, basically before he activated, Ezra died. He took a end of round Harn shot. He took a call Vanguard, which he lammed, and then Harn activated to then shoot him. And basically from there, it was a bit of a snowball because with
If both of them are gone from the list, it loses
exactly.
a lot
especially
of potential,
when he's done zero damage to my list. And I've basically not lost anything by doing so. I'm not out of position. I'm still... All of my figures are still in my deployments. he did definitely perform a very good effort of trying to pull it back, but it was just too big of a swing. Missing out on those extra attacks is massive.
Yeah.
So that was round one win. Round two going up against Avidas with his Vader Palp. Oh, sorry.
Before we go to Avidas, just a question. Do you think that playing more defensive against Harn Rangers with Spectre Cell would have worked? Like trying to hide behind corners until you have to expose yourself and then charging in and or closing the gap faster with like Spectre Cell movement and getting rid in air quotes of your reroll to make your dice less consistent. Do you think difference, or was it Hunter cards and all of that?
That with just a few positioning corrections, a lot could have been changed.
So it's mainly like in air quotes player error, which resulted in this snowballing so fast instead of like your list basically trouncing through Kanan and then Ezra.
I wouldn't really call it a player error.
It's more like a judgment error, not like
exactly.
I
think that if positioning had been a little more careful, then it would have changed a lot. The thing is,
okay,
and I probably should have said we were playing on Mos Eisley. Was round one? Yeah. Was that like pickup crates or control? I feel like.
I think it was control.
But yeah. The thing is, on that map, there are very few corners to hide behind where you can realistically get to me and attack me. You can double move and then use Spectre later on, that's completely fine. But with most figures, I can probably kill in one activation with my ranges, as long as I have the cards. It's very difficult for them to stop me from getting my rerolls.
Okay, so...
Nope.
Did you drop?
No, sorry. That's everything.
Go ahead. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, game two. I went up against Arvidas with his Vader Palpatron, and this was on Tarkin. And
what did he play?
Thrawn Vader Palp.
So the triple
unless
guys.
I'm mistaken, Arvidas was the one who came up with the list idea. I could be wrong, but I think it's
okay.
basically, the code of this game, or the quote of this game, Rangers still love shooting stuff. In most of my Vader matchups, Vader's defense die can be a big difference in the game. As if Vader rolls 5 blocks every attack, which, you know, realistically he can, if rolls are pretty good for him, then he can definitely do it. But if he rolls double ones, and I have tough luck and heightened in hand for the times when he does roll the big ones, he goes down really. So essentially, start of round 2, I killed Vader, playing, I think, maybe just assassinate and tough luck. And I'm.
Did he have extra armor? Or
he did have extra armor, so I threw all of his health.
He did.
Plus those 2 blocks.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, my rolls were hot, although I did have rerolls every attack, so that definitely helped. But I didn't have too many focuses.
Yeah.
And yeah, then suddenly it's Thrawn, Palp, DT versus Han Rangers, and that's very difficult. So then again, just that big swing at the beginning just snowballed and really recovered from it. The rest of the list just very easily took out the rest of them.
Okay.
So
you didn't have any trouble. So what is this list exactly?
Yeah.
So it's Vader, Palp, Thrawn, and 3 officers.
No, so that's,
I guess
he's got an elite Death Trooper and a regular Death Trooper, and then 2 officers.
Yeah, that's
I was running a similar variant based on his idea. I wanted I wanted Unshakeable Vader. Along with that, so I do 3 officers. It didn't do anything, but I'm not a new player, so. Alright, so going on to round 3, I went up against my good friend Toby. He was playing IG Weakways. I think he was running DT's Wilds list, which is which was really refreshing because there was no doubt, no extra armor. It was just a good old fashioned. Yeah, exactly.
Scum list.
So
then
Han Rangers versus IG Weakways is very fun, in my opinion. It was on Uskru. I want to say, it was definitely droids. Thinking about the top cut, it was definitely droids. What to say? As you would expect, we were sticking in our deployment zones. I was lucky enough to draw the bottom one, and he drew the. And by bottom, I mean the imp. Yeah, exactly.
The one with the pillar.
Yeah, exactly. If you have initiative and you're up against any sort of range list, that, in my opinion, that is the one you should go.
Okay. Yeah.
And so we were just kind of staying back, building up our forces. He was, you know, moving and hiding. We both had R2, so we were drawing extra cards. I also had Balance of the Force. Not Balance of the Force. Rebel High Command. So I was getting a lot of cards there, which is great. Eventually, all hell broke loose. initiative was coming my way, and I had negation. And with Han Rangers, when you have that combo, and you have the last activation, which I happen to have, the math changes a little bit against IG, because obviously there's the risk of Blaze. But barring Blaze, there's nothing they can really do about you taking initiative. So my Rangers, they all double move. So that next round, I could then move and shoot IG. With 2 focused ranges. I had 5 cards left in deck, and I was drawing 3, and I was hoping to draw a call, but unfortunately I didn't. That made me worried, because I was not sure that my ranges could kill, because doing 15 damage in 2 attacks is a tall order. But they did do it. Between tools, good rolls, heightened, and assassinate, they killed IG before Blaze was played, and before he killed anything. which is great. That unfortunately left them right in the weak waistline of fire, but by just doing a little bit of maths, it's like trading two rangers for the price of IG. You take that any. Yeah. And then the other ranger, he might have shot a weak queen, then run back or something. But at that point, he had already played lamb. So he was definitely on the back foot. As expected, he then killed the rangers, the two that I had left exposed. But then after that, the lone ranger and Han together managed to mop up enough points, and so as to pull in the win. But that was definitely a closer game than the first two were. It was a great game, and again against a great guy, good friend.
I mean, it's a very traditional setup for
so
both of you.
Three tyrants and all this new crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All this new crap. I remember the good old days before Doubt and everything. But yeah, so that was round three. Going on to round four. That was up against another Spectre Cell player. This was a Doubt Spectre Cell, which, you know, it's a little more scary for Fallen Rangers going up against Doubt.
I'm interested in hearing this now, because...
Yeah.
Now it comes.
To be honest, I don't have much recollection of this game, mainly because we were playing so quickly. We almost did like chess. The other games, okay, so you did that. Now I need a good 30 seconds to think about what I want to do. Whereas here was, he moved there, I move there, he move, I move, he move, I move. So I think we finished the game a good 15 to 20 minutes before everyone else, which is great. So it was super fun player, super great, good player as well. But yeah, we were back on Mos Eisley. So this was the pick up crates mission. So I'm trying to rack my brain.
Okay.
Thinking about the details.
I mean, a general overall, we lost a bit, so...
Rangers still kill stuff.
Really? Okay.
Rangers really pulled their weight in this game.
Similar to the first game, like, where you...
I wouldn't call it like that. I feel bad, because I remember nearly nothing from this game. But yeah, essentially, there was a lot of shooting going on.
Did he close the gap with Kanan and Ezra?
I think so. Yeah, because Ezra definitely did get a few attacks off.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
A few, okay.
A few, I mean you. Ezra was definitely killed. I believe I killed Kanan. Ezra did land one of my attacks, but three range attacks were later on, they were enough to take him down. And that's unfortunately all the details I can recall. My smugglers and Hera picked up so many crates. And I do remember using Lamb early on a smuggler to drop off a crate and keep him alive, which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, all in all, I remember that it was one of the best games of the day. Super quick, super fun, just the way I like Imperial Assault. And yeah, that was Swiss. So I was 4-0, and I was the only 4-0 there, which was good to see Han Rangers pulling its weight.
It's very interesting to see that pulling Han Rangers Spectre isn't a fluke. You won twice, once against Doubt, once a normal one, and not on maps that you would say like are too large for them to close the gap or too large for them to actually stay efficient. So I'm interested in this. So I didn't expect this at all, right? So I was thinking that Han Rangers would have problems with them just standing like on your nose and them having their light sticks in your guys and Did you not have any problems with Bean and her parting gift and with like Sepp charging in, three attacks of Sepp and wasn't this a
those two figures definitely pulled their weight in both of the games against Spectre Cell. The thing is, I just like everyone else thought that Hard Rangers couldn't compete. As soon as I saw Spectre Cell, I just jumped ship and tried out Spectre Cell. Then I got sick of it and tried everything but Spectre Cell. I tried Scum VP, I tried Vader Pug Thrawn. Basically anything but Spectre Cell. I mean, some people do like it. I can respect that. I can see why people like it. It's just not my playstyle. The thing is, I ran the numbers, and Rangers with only one card and Hera and two focus tokens have, and that's not counting rerolls, they have a 67% to kill any member of Spectre Cell. Only with assassinate.
Well, okay, I mean it's a 12 point
activation. Yeah, exactly.
So
but that's the thing.
It should do
it's a 12 point activation against a 6 activation list. If I kill Kanan while he's moving in, then suddenly The list loses a lot of value as soon as I kill anything, let alone something bigger like Kanan or Ezra.
That's why I'm saying that maybe stuff will different, at least in the word where you removed Kanan and Ezra really quick. If he hangs back, if he sends in like Zeb first, punch against Zeb, and then two Jedis come in, or you ignore Zeb and Zeb can do some wrecking stuff. I don't know if this actually works.
I think that's
maybe
the correct
that, maybe that's
way.
The answer.
Him in one of my games. At least. I'm not sure though. The thing is, I feel like for Spectre Cell to do well against Han Rangers, they need to move in all their forces. If they go one at a time, that's exactly what I want. Because then I can just see someone, shoot them, and then...
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah.
You definitely have to rush all of them in to do all of your shenanigans and attacks. It's just being careful about where exactly you put them. I mean, one space can be the difference between a dead Kanan and a Kanan that's going to wreck face next round.
Sounds good. Do we want to hop over to Yeppe and his Swiss if he's still here?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's premise it first by saying that I hadn't got a single game of Assault Skirmish in the better part of 5 months. The last time I had Europeans, having had surgery and have a place with a fair amount to one, none, and so I hadn't played for a long while. My ambition plan with going to Stockholm was that I wanted to see a lot of people that I knew, especially for Assault, and I wanted to get games in both Imperial Assault and Armada. I haven't played either of them. So that was just actually getting company. As for results, I didn't expect much. I did expect to, if anything, better on the Sunday when to play Armada. I think maybe I'd expected my skill to be a little bit less. Somehow it would be a game I thought I was on top of. But also because while we were perceptibly few with 10 of us for Armada, the crowd going for Assault was fairly intimidating.
Yeah.
Like we said, we had 10 people and had amongst several nationals present, former European champion, a lot of people already mentioned, Arvides, of course, Isaac, Alist, there was Jill, there were two Jills actually from Denmark who made it top 8 at Chewbacca list, and I think probably the closest DT rush for a world championship. He was actually judging it, but there was another Jill from France, which is also, there's a fellow with the same name at world top card, I think. There was Greg Munn, who was the runner-up at Fuel, and then there was me who hadn't played for. What I decided was to basically play the last when we were Europeans, just about 5 months earlier. But of course, there's been a new wave out since then, so I felt it in its place to shake up the list a bit. Also, to some degree, because to be honest,
that's a good reason.
With the whole move thing, I and with the way the tabletop admiral is called, recover your password, that meant that I don't have access. But basically, the one thing I changed was a single point command card. I lost my person advantage in favor of an even older card, the set for. So basically, I had absolutely zero from the wave. But I had one thing in my favor, and that is I was wearing terribly worn out, so I have a bit of a injury on my heel. But to make up for the terrible shoes, Star Wars cape and everything.
I have these too. Yeah, I wore them the first time last weekend too.
I think I had
someone
take a photo of it, but I'm not sure. Anyway, I was just at time. So what was my listing? Well, as always, I tend to favor the bastard and the broken things, referred to universe.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I've done this in Armada, and served me better. Struggled a lot of trying to. But this is probably this, though, that I've played the most ever. Thing that I tend to change lists a lot. And running joke, the board wars that at the Europeans, it was amazing that I managed to not change my list for the last couple of hours before playing, because I had to change in the last. And I can now say that Eagle Command card I have it for 5 months going into Nordics, but of course all the games had been in. So I was playing Han Solo, Drokata. He had his C-3PO and Gideon there, who cares about that? And then I had RTD2 for Khan. And then I obviously also play Spies, because I still want them to work. So I was running Mac, Vol, Furry, Anxious, the Bothan, and then I had Elite Rebel Saboteurs, a targeted, and then last single Alliance. Yeah, so that's what I had to work with. I got one game in the night at the hotel against one of the other players. We may have met him in the last round. Isaac, you went 4-0, perfect. I played him the night beforehand, and
I think Mass was my first game.
Oh, that would be Kevin, a Dane King Spectres. But I played him at the hotel late the night beforehand, and he was playing this old Spectres. Heard some people mumble about, so I thought maybe that was good for my oneness game to be against thoroughly on Tarkin. So I also played Tarkin, so I went into Spectres and Tarkin entirely as the back of my list. In my first round of Swiss, I was Gil Alves, very touch player. I was playing the Tarkin DT BT Juan. And some officers. This was the Mos Eisley back alleys. Remember too much of it. Think that what earlier, I think maybe end of the first round, my hand got some damage. Taro, more than I got him stunned in the second of my first deck. And that meant that he was kind of stuck. I think he managed to and use it for to move and test. This is actually, I'm not remembering. Oh yeah, I think he had also Sentry Draw, Isaac.
No, I did not play Zil. Well. I do remember spectating a small chunk of one of his games. I think he did have sentries, yeah.
Yeah, I think he had those as well. Yeah, and I hit harder. And I have to say one thing. I made a lot of mistakes in my games. I kept forgetting the damage. Drakata, I somehow thought this had 8 health. Of course, they only had, I kept thinking they had 10, but 8. I think more or less the two things I remember is that early I got some stuns here and there, but earlier I moved Drakata in for a arcing shot which would have killed his Thrawn in attack and a demolish if he had on a card on the attack so that the one damage. Oh, that's true. I don't think I'd shot with Han yet. What ended up happening is that I ran all the way across open areas to get an end of round shot on Thrawn, and it felt a bit redundant because I was using just taking the single damage remaining on. But my only other choice of target, I would say, BT or to kill. And I was pretty certain who would get initiative the next round. And I wanted a figure, so that's what I went. I remember that Drakata was sort of stuck in evade. Drakata just about died. I closed the game a bit earlier, but then he would have been able to his blast polish and what. Yeah, it's all a bit hazy. But I ended up taking the I didn't expect had a sturdy, if less common. Second round, I faced off against the Spectral, which was piloted by Kevin, Danish guy who actually looks last. So we know each other well. It was a nice game.
Was it? Sorry to interrupt. Was it Spectre with Doubt? Or?
I think not have Doubt. Maybe had
okay.
The one where you have
balance
more
of the force.
Cards.
Balance of the Force. Wait, how does this work? You only have 1 point, and Balance of the Force is 2 points?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Rebel High Command is just 2 points.
Yeah, maybe.
Balance of the Force is where you have more command points. You draw. Okay.
And this was the Tarkin of the AI one. Yeah, it was the way you get 2 points. I made some mistakes here and there, but I think main element was that I got to stun, got to Kanan, and it was basically stuck a bit far across the area. So I could sort of just pile a bunch of and then I stun his Ezra, and of course both it. Can do.
okay, that sounds nice.
Maybe I mean when I say stun, I believe my Sabs. I don't know that I got. No, I didn't. I had that. He had to basically run his Ezra backward. I had my Drakata move in and hurt him a lot. And I was actually ready to. I had lock on, negate and evade, and maybe also. But what happened was Drakata you demolished next, to, and then he thought that it was a strain. Which it is Drakata, but hit by they take a damage.
Oh,
what it meant
and
was
he okay.
He drew his card with. Or Tom the Lamb, and it had to basically, well, it had to go back in the deck, and we were, again, it was fairly friendly, and none of us had any strong opinions on it, but we thought the TO should decide where you then leave the deck as it is, or you shuffle. I leaned a bit to shuffling, and was that now we have a bunch of attacks for the rest of that round, where I could target Ezra.
Yeah, without the looming threat of the Lamb in hand.
No, we're not even, going into the next roadly, and... Yeah, the problem was we both had more knowledge than it. And I and it in a sense the knowledge helped both, but it also hurt us both. But anyway, I eventually got Ezra down. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think I ended up first attacking him, needed to force him the on the Lamb, and then I had Mac. I didn't use Mac for much in these games. He was running a little bit like spending activations, but he was standing behind the door on my side near the indoor, so I hadn't used door yet. So he opened the door and then he shot Ezra, and I don't know if he used Element. And then I had the extra surge for Ezra had to not only kill him but also force him a card, which I think is a few times I've met. and that was sort of the game. I'd gotten a bunch from running through the things where you get the strain. So it was a bit closer than it sounds, but like towards the end of that round, we were certainly out. I think the Drakata perhaps died, and maybe some Saps died as well. But yeah, stunning, I say. And with me having my spies, I think his sentiment at the end of the game was he felt he had four cards, and I'd always had the right cards to the right time. But I think part of that maybe a bit is from the fact that I had my spy cards, which took out some of his. And like he said, maybe he hadn't got the best of it. He did get on me having intel, etc. Not only means that I get to take out some calculation, I also worry less about them. I know that I might have a negation, I'd have a bomb disrupt on. So, third round, I was facing none other than Arvidas, which, by the way, we could tell because I was booking fairly late, and just a few hours later, and that was for the event. He was looking for, but he ended up having to stay further into town and to be able to get to the airport. So we didn't, but we then met across the table. It was 6 points. And yeah, as Isaac sketched out, Arvidas was playing Vader, Emperor, an elite and a regular Death Troop officer, and
I definitely did have armor.
And Silo. I don't think.
I think that's a bit too much points then.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, interesting game. Like I said, I made a bunch of mistakes here and there, but I think this is a game that I. So basically, what happened was that he had some excellent placement down in that in one side of the map, the dominate part of my side of the map. Happened. We did not open doors that actually allowed us to exchange fire, or rather, my two doors were open, which meant that he couldn't bear Thrawn and one maybe to his death through the fight, but he had the Emperor and Vader in that book were in fact the terminal combination of
Force Choke and Lightning.
Force Choke, yeah, yeah, exactly. But what happened was that I then got a shot off with, but the following round in a very, very angry, and he did a lot of damage to a Death Trooper. He had moved the Death Trooper down. Now, I'm not sure he was there yet, but I was attacking. I did a lot of them, the Emperor and Vader with Drakata. And then I was in a perfect position where both lay. Because we ended up being a little bit delayed with the interaction, but both of ESAPs were focused and they were in a situation so they could get exactly in to attack the whole area. One of them, I think, could attack Vader directly. Because of being able to throw figures, and another one for the figures next to him, and then combination of blast and collateral damage, I was able to kill Vader. So basically, his Vader was dead before he'd done anything productive besides a single, and his Emperor went down. He had one health left and I'd short. So you'd think that I kind of had the game made, but I had Han Solo sort of in an exposed area, because I think he was hit, in fact. And I had on the lamb, and I knew it could do it, but I forgot again I could have used it. Oh. So that left Han out in a bit of a lurch, where the death came. I knew exposed, moved up my saboteurs, moved up my saboteurs and placed that I put aside to Han, survive, but I, Han was particularly wounded yet, and I didn't mind if they shot at him, I would get a return fire. But I blocked alongside, because one end to the side of the map, he wouldn't be able to shoot at me without me getting as smart as I was in the side area, but so he could, which doesn't matter at all. Other side, hide behind, retaliate with Vader. Sorry, not with Vader, with Han, so fairly painful mistake. And because of the death troop, he was able to, several attacks with death troop. I don't know. Yeah, side effect. So suddenly my Han was down to only one health left without having actually his ability. So I had to run him far back into my deployment area, hiding and covering Gideon. I went on to destroy his death troop. So at the end of this round, he was down, or going into his office more or less, and I was ahead by this or so. Each had a droid port to get into the other's deployment area. He had two officers that could trade, and so. And I had a Gideon situation where, by the way, I have to say, playing against my second game again is interesting when you're a spy. You know your opponent's hand, but Thrawn in a, knows the cards that you're, or throws them out and then doesn't know it, but they know good cards, so there's interesting balance on there. Anyway, back to the final mode. I really had Arvidas in a chokehold. I think maybe I had an advantage of not swimming, but basically. He has to. I have Gideon and Han. We both will have a but enter deployments. And I was in a situation where I felt I could just stay put Han Solo and Gideon, and then I would win unless I changed. And the one thing that could change if his two officers between the could kill the droid that I had that was his zone, so that his droid would be the only one making the end of round, and that would put him in the lead. And he did have a token, search of power or damage. I thought, not sure what the droid, but I was still worried, and I was sort of thinking, and great deal of respect for Arvidas as a strong player, I something up his sleeve. So my choice was that I had one card in my hand that was planning. He had one card in his hand. I did what it was. I had one card in my deck, and that was the only one I knew that was. So going with Gideon, I had two actions, and I could have spent one playing my planning to get my calm disruption. I could also disrupt. Could have calm disrupt it too. That's beside the because I wanted to sort of proactively win the game. So instead of waiting to see if he could kill this droid, what I did was supposedly a safe move. I moved up with Gideon to one space, then I used my ability of hand, and I only moved hand so that he was blocking him, and that would allow my hand to go and shoot Arvidas's droid, so that if he killed mine, I would be fairly certain to with my hand solo. The card, though, that he had was an urgent, which I couldn't do in my planning, and that allowed him to run pretty far with his officer, and his officer to take a 3 or 4 range shot at my hand, but he then were able to get line of sight because of the urgency, and he then had to... And he did.
Cool.
So I
that's
think
close,
Arvidas,
but...
at Arvidas at that point was pretty sure that he was going to lose the game, and it turned, and that was a handful, just waiting out things and see what would happen. So I was not surprised to have lost the game. I was actually surprised to have won against Arvidas. Going into my fourth game, I was playing Toby, another Danish guy. I was playing ID and Pirate, some of the usual Greedo. And that was a game where I just got a lot of things. I didn't play the setup fairly well. I was positioned. I expected to come out to play, but then very, very laid back. I was waiting to play until that not have blazes. I just didn't get the things to the right way, and I ended up in the game. It was Mos Eisley. We have to pick up stuff. He took up position in a situation, and I weren't really able to get to Scotland. So I lost that game. Actually, I say I lost it. That's because I had the losing it for a great big deal. But towards the end of it, I was just a damage away from the. I think it was Uber. There was some. I had some different. His ID was severely limping, and he ran him all the way back to deployments, and that was the indoor bit. And he was in the far corner, and he had a Gideon on side, and I think an R2-D2 on the other, whose bases that blocked line of sight. And for some reason, I was too focused on not trying to shoot him, but trying to damage with blast. So I had, I think I had Han Solo shoot at Gideon, and then I didn't use search to kill Gideon. Actually, kill ID-88 to win the game. Gideon's been flipped, and then one of them, saboteurs, both of them too far away, they made up make the shot, and I shot at Gideon, blast ID-88, which is totally wrong move. Something you might want to do on a Vader, but you don't have to on a ID-88 because you don't worry about Silo, Pierce, and so on. So I didn't get enough damage onto ID, and I think I got to attack more round. And I ended up being too old. And if I'd done my choices a bit different, I'd been able to. Nevertheless, what we didn't know either was that I believed about to make the cut regardless of outcome. Concerns had been sort of unimportant. I was surprised that I was able to, and the way the field was. But to be honest, having so many really strong players, some of them, Alistair, genuinely experiment, really fun, and giving it a good go. But I think what happened with the tournament was also that there were so many good guys that some of them met each other. They met each other. It's you'd think those really strong players would race to the top, and one did, Isaac, undefeated. But I think a bunch of the other strong players, like Breck, kind of met each other, and then maybe they knew during a bit in their schedule. So I was the only one of those two wins managed to make it in the end. That was just because I played people who had done really well beside the point that I played Isaac to Well, long story short, it was time for the top four. And obviously, having just snuck into the top cut, I was to play the undefeated player of Swiss, Isaac.
Indeed.
And I got to sit down across from each other. I think we did it maybe at the practice. We did a bunch of practice games actually at Europeans, and then one at the warm-up event. But I don't ever play each other.
No, exactly.
So there we had a hand versus situation, and we were facing off on the control map of I've just spoken at least about my Swiss, so maybe you take us into our
top four. So Jeppe got the initiative first. He then chose the better side, the one with the cross, which is invaluable against ranged units like Han, Jakarta Rangers, and all of that. So those were the deployment zones. We both had R2, so we both went up, drew cards, focused our units. I don't think really think anything happened round one, pretty, which is pretty to be expected when it comes to Uskru.
There's a lot of positioning, and I think you had Hera, which meant that you weren't too handicapped by being on the side, because you could get the free move to get out to the terminal.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have been able
exactly.
to do that on your side. If I'm not mistaken, we're both a bit wary and a bit different positioning, so
yes.
just got a lot more cards with Artid. The difference being that you had our smuggler, which got out in the bunch.
Round one we each got. I got 4 points, he got 2. But round two, then my smuggler that was standing on the corner objective, I suppose you could call it, the one not by the booth, he double moved into the center.
Yeah.
There wasn't.
Yeah.
Exactly, because one ranger then moved up to that stash.
And I don't remember if I even got
No, all of my rangers were just sitting by. All my rangers but the one who was contesting was just control.
Yeah, so at that point you'd gotten 12 points and I had got...
Yeah, exactly.
And then...
so I...
Was my smuggler the thing to die?
I'm pretty sure he was. I could be mistaken, but I feel like that's how it went. Yeah, exactly, because that was the end of round two, because we were still just playing really defensively.
Yeah, and I do know then that the first sort of proper shots were when you all your three rangers in my hand moving into. I think that was within.
Yeah, exactly. It was either three or four, because end of round two, my hand double moved.
Yeah.
To then both contest one of the objectives on the Yepa side, meaning that I actually got 10 objectives that round, which is great.
Yeah, and you got to kill...
Not out of D2, I killed the smuggler, your smuggler. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. But I remember then at the top of round three was we started doing proper shots, and all your three rangers had it to get in the position. And I don't know if you...
I did use a movement card on one of them, fleet-footed, just to so that he would be in a safe spot. That did not end up helping at all.
Now, funny thing I should say from my side of the map, I knew you could get shot at from a sort of small area. What would happen would be that I was fairly well positioned. I had C-3PO. I had a to get to a position, be shot at, but I could return fire from to break line of sight. And I had. So I'm kind of. I don't want the first of three attacks. Then some of the others will be able to in there. So at one point, when finally the second one's attacking, and it's a fairly big hit, and this from me not having played for all, so I used tough luck. On blue dice for range, which of course was what I was hoping to be able to do. Absolutely forgetting Hera being in range and being able to give the accuracy, which meant that that attack connected despite the fact that I'd used tough luck. And tough luck, by the way, only one damage pit. The other part was. And I think you then.
Yeah, exactly. You lambed.
No, that was not yet. No, that was not yet. Yeah, I did. I think you stood earlier, but then I lambed. And then as planned, I kind of had to bit backwards, and I just tossed it.
And that was probably my big mistake as well. It was, I should have just loaded that first range up completely, and then given you the option either land this and take a lot of damage, don't land this and take a lot of damage, or land this, but then I still have my, but then there's no return fire, and I have all the other range.
I assassinated the first attack. You were contemplating it was a bit early. Yeah, and that was the first attack which forced Morrowind.
Exactly, and what I should have done is, because I had tools, which I played on my second attack, that is the worst thing I could have done. I just should have played it on the first attack and just throw all of my things in to then either...
Yeah, I want the game to be sure to calm, disrupt, and negation. I take initiative the following round. I don't know this one, but I do recall at one
point. In this game, you calm, disrupted my Call the Vanguard.
Regretted not. That's
Which
true.
Was terribly annoying.
So on the plus side, my hand was really hurting. But then Drakata went to town. The Sabs went to town, and I think I killed all three rangers.
You definitely killed two. I'm not sure about the last one because Han returned fire. The first attack did 4 damage. Maybe you want to talk about that glorious Drakata shot, which then cleared both of them.
Yeah, I had some damage in, and then basically what I did for Kata was a typical one where I think I had enough damage on the attack to one ranger, and then the other combination.
Yeah, exactly.
Collateral, some such. That's what she usually does. Yeah, you may have noticed that I've. It's not wise to upset a Wookiee, and Drakata is definitely a Wookiee. A lot of herd. If I'm not mistaken, I think maybe Drakata payback fire from Hera, maybe for Han as well.
I'm pretty sure that she. Pretty much popped two, shot the rangers and killed them, and then popped two back. It was then round four where you went and did the big shot on Han, and that's when the game started to become tight.
Yeah, and the thing was, you had a kind of a bit of a box nearby your nearby your terminal, and you'd be moving R2 into Nabakad and then back to, and you had Hera and 3PO and Han to get aside. He was also getting the invade, and I moved up to the following round after we'd had the whole shootout with the Rangers. I had my saps being able to get the distance.
You definitely did some time. It might have been that round, but it also might have been next round.
Yeah, and then I remember Han was down to health, and I had a couple dodged. Oh yeah, I know why. It's because I think earlier I lock on to evade A, deny you a block for evade, and get us in.
Actually, so and that was round four, and Drakata ran round the corner and shot Han.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly, yeah, and then I rolled block size block, and I had 3PO, so I was blocking a lot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I used, and I. That was another mistake I made. I think the thing is, I moved Drakata all the way up to the objective, whereas I could have taken the shot further back and then maybe have out of the
Did you have an arcing shot in hand at that point?
I don't think I got it on.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I just remember an evade kind of helped.
Exactly, and that was absolutely massive because then one sap moved up.
The whole situation.
Took, Han to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then you rolled
and
the dodge.
That was absolutely massive because the result of that was Han got to unstun. I debated it for a long time what. Should I move back, etc., etc.? But I decided to shoot Drakata, which his shot, his end-around shot, and was there a Hera shot? Or something like that, but I did manage to take down Drakata, which was massive. And at that point, I played Celebration, and if you didn't have Negation, that would have... I fully expected you to have Negation, but it, I definitely still played.
Yeah, just to recap, I think when I was the most, was I... behind us because of all the points and you had hands. So you were in striking distance. I had so that I could negate the liberation under Carter. I know I ended up taking out your
That was with a sab. The sab moved he moved three, shot Han, and then back. Sorry, go ahead. So here is the the big finale of the match. I was 2 points away from, 4 points away from, and Yeppe was controlling the two sashes in the middle, and I had no figures on far side anymore. So we were all on my terminal side, or my figures.
Used your stun on my hand. So he was stuck down by them, so my hand never died, but he was
kind
of out of the fight.
Before we go into the climax, the highlight of the game was my regular smuggler. He did not have line of sight to Han, but I knew how annoying Han is, and I didn't want him to start shooting my figures. So what the smuggler did is he played stimulants on himself.
Yeah.
And moved one space to then shoot Han, and I max rolled. Yeah. I rolled 4 damage on the 2 greens, and then the 1 surge on the yellow. And I think he rolled block, surge, block. So he took like 3 damage and stun, which was massive. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That smuggler then died, and the smuggler... But then, essentially, what it was coming down to was that we were both looking to get to 40 points at the same time, but then he would win the tiebreaker.
Because you had more points and objectives while I had points from killing stuff. And my hand was... He could take a very long shot at your Hera if I activated him, but I would have to put a health Hera from range.
Yeah, which without modifiers is statistically impossible.
Without focus and... Yeah, so I didn't want to do that, so I did the strange thing with Han at the state. Well, I could get an end of round. The thing is, I absolutely, the objective, so basically my Han at the product slowly up to the other objective inside of the map, and I had Gideon move up to take over the spot that Han had been at, and in the center I'd had my saps that basically, it's a nice 5 space that they could do, have 5 moves. 2 spaces, I could see Han move everything sap, and then I could move back into the blue area, and then I see 2PO standing there for an extra thing to contest in the center, give a bit more ability. I had Mac where he'd been running in circles, literally I was in circles. I had contemplating being set for stun with him, which by the way is great. Set for stun actually is perfect in my list because both my saboteurs and that means that it's difficult to block off for set for stun because I can just perform attacks through figures. That's good for set for stun. So anyway, I had Mac, which could I could have tried along, but then I would have to roll really well, and you'd have to. So my Gideon, when he moved to take over the terminal, Han was the way from Gideon that pushed Mac to spaces, and that meant my Mac was in range of objective at the far end of the other. So we both sort of saw where we were heading, and it was a very brainy endgame. And I should add that you actually had family visiting, and it was great to have them there.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I say visiting. They live in Stockholm. They were visiting. They were at a tournament. Exactly. I think, for my part at least, I was never stressed or high strung, enjoying the game. And yeah, like I said, my Mac pretending to. Yeah, we had a bit of a banter on the Rebel High Command and the poor side. He was getting.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
And they're both on really. But we were basically getting to a situation with a stun on my hand again. I couldn't really bring him to bear, and it was just a movement game to a certain degree, because I could just reach that one terminal, and I didn't need the point to get them. So the final move, which would decide the game.
Yes. So his his Bothan ran all the way over to my stash, and I was at 38 points. He was standing at 32, so he was gonna get 8 points, which would then take him to 40. But if I only got my 2 points, that would be 40-40, and he would, because of the tiebreak. So I had to get 4 points to get to 40.
Yeah, I think I was... Yeah. I thought I was only preparing you, but... Yeah. You didn't contest the one
exactly.
anymore, did you?
So the thing was, I had one option, and that was my R2-D2 had to kill Mac. So Gideon focused Mac.
Yeah.
He moved Hera, so that Hera would be able to give R2 the buff, and then R2 went... So I just needed to roll 3 damage, because
did
thanks to Hera, I could have gotten the extra damage I needed.
Did you have
you rolled
a surprise,
blank.
Or did I just...
So you started by rolled a blank to add a little bit of suspense.
you had a focused RTD, but you absolutely rolled the damage pips, because you can't add damage pips with it.
Yeah, exactly, precisely. So I rolled, and I got 2 damage, which was not enough, and that won the game. My biggest mistake... Yeah. Well, there were 2. One thing that I've always said to myself is, when in doubt, stay conservative. I was too aggressive with Han and the Rangers. But my second big mistake was during the last few activations of the game. Because you took initiative that last round, and for some reason, I thought that 3PO was ready. So...
And this was actually, we talked about it, I remember, this is so easy to forget, this was actually one of those situations where I had remembered to pick something and exhaust.
Yeah, exactly, because the thing was, 3PO could easily double move and get to any of my stashes, so it didn't matter if I went with my figures and body blocked the stash. But then I realized all too late that it turned out that he actually, exactly, and if I had realized that, then R2 and Gideon could have just double moved into that spot. Into the spot that Mac could reach, and that would win the game for me.
Yeah, that was what I was expecting. But then you did the. I was holding back to do Mac last, even though it was kind of obvious where he was going, but then at least other options. The moment you did the focus with Gideon, I knew I would never be able to to double block
exactly.
two spaces. So that allowed me. Yeah, I think. The Rangers did more damage. I also kept forgetting their auto pierce. But they were lured out, and I managed to then kill them. Somehow my hand ended up surviving, but just throtting around, just holding 2-point objectives every time needed for me to get back in the game. Many points. I think just to sum up, did I get to use?
I don't
set
think
for
so.
It just shows that set for stun is. I think it's overpowered, but it does do some interesting. Things in way to stifle very powerful. Mine was already one that depended on stuns and liked to as a C2, but suddenly there was. Yeah, it took the end game. I took so well care of him after the initial hurt from the Rangers on my own.
Yeah, for sure.
I think that sort of sums it up. Any questions from the two of you or comment?
So, you want to talk about the following game?
Oh, yeah, okay. Then I went to the finals and I faced Avidas, who I had
lost in the Swiss.
More or less, I tossed my win very last round. This time we were playing on Tarkings. And I had a game plan, which I really thought was really good. I just made a small mistake of not following it. and that one as well, I got to use set for stun. One of my smugglers stunned his Vader. I kind of knew I either had to get out there and get some token or stay back and get my cards. But then I ended up opening the doors and moving out anyway and gaining much. I had a big attack Strakata and some Sabs, an Emperor, and then death through to each other. I should have shot at the other target on the Emperor and finished him, but then I got greedy with Strakata. She does amazing, so I shot at the death and managed to not kill
him. Spreading damage around.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the path to victory.
So there were some mistakes here, and then his Emperor ended up surviving on health, were able to run away, and yeah, again, there was this strange situation. I can use my spy cards, his cards, but he had to keep an eye on. I had some situation where I had a Gideon who could all the way across section with my hands, he'd get finish off the Empress end of round. But the problem was that Han was, I had on the lamb, but he could be force choked to death, and Arvidus cleverly Vader in a position there was no for me to hide with Han. So it's just a matter of what I could get in. I have to say it was fun. I believe I had one on Han to weapon. I had an extra die on my saboteur, and finally, in a move of desperation, I had an extra die. I think an extra on R2-D2, two dice. I thought I had a chance to Thrawn, and then he moved an officer lock line of sight. Otherwise, I think it's remembering and there being an extra option for R2 to be able to kill him, and that might have a chance. In the end, I was practically wiped down. Arvidus rightly said, "These are the drop." That was his Vader. They reconnected. That was the end of it. It was it was nowhere as close as we played earlier in the day. Yeah, I made a couple of mistakes on the way.
But hey, I mean, you came in second after taking a almost 6-month hiatus, so I wouldn't be too hard on myself.
I think, the thing is, I think it's my destiny. Last year, of course, I also made it second, and then my goal was to bring Davith to the final. At the time, it was Mac and the Sabs. As they say, Hokey Meta and Ancient no match for a good blast on your side.
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm never running dry or Han Solo.
Yeah.
I have to say that I was really happy to. We got so many prizes, both before and during the tournament. There were so many other things. I got the Alt-Art and Solo card there and got to. And I ended up not using my own. Jill, the Danish guy, the TO, and Mass, the other Danish guys, let me borrow their figures. I played it with all painted fin, I think. You know, it's just like a certain other universe. Things have to be read to be, I think. Having my figures painted helping me.
Yeah, nice. Thanks for the call, yeah. Both of you.
Sorry, and, got too detailed.
No, that's fine. We will put this in a separate episode anyway.
I just
it's
have
running
yeah,
too long. Anyway.
Sorry for adding more words. It was a really pleasurable semi-final. It
yeah,
was the,
same.
The best game of the day, and it was interesting. Maneuver around each other and actually get
sure.
to play each other in
yeah.
the tournament maps.
It was an absolutely amazing game.
Yeah, and then I went on to play 10 hours. I'm out of the 9. So yep. That was a weekend,
okay.
As they say.
Yeah, it's a pretty busy week. Okay, so that concludes the talking part about the 2018 Nordics.